Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless. Yeah!
Good evening, everybody. This is D&K Bible Break. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say and wish everybody a happy Monday, happy evening to everyone that is joining us online and everyone that called in on the phone line. We just want to say happy Monday to you. Hopefully you had a blessed week and a blessed weekend, and we're going to start your week off right. With D&K Bible Break, and hopefully we got a word or something that we can be encouraging to you on tonight. So with that being said, I'm going to introduce my better half, Miss Kay. Are you there?
I am here. Good evening, everybody, and happy Monday. Happy Monday.
All right. All right. We want to first give honor to the Lord, who is the head of our life. We want to acknowledge him being the head of our life. We also want to thank my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, Outback Steakhouse, and Brentwood Publishing. And just want to send a special shout out to them. Also, before we get started with my sponsors, we got some breaking news coming out. On tonight. It really ain't breaking news, but it's breaking news for me, and it's going to be breaking news for some other people too. So I'm going to be announcing that here pretty soon. So we just want to thank all the sponsors for letting us be on the airways again. Also to my special people in London, Germany, and in Bahamas. Now in Germany and London, we're trying to communicate a better way so you guys not only can hear us, but you'll be able to see us. And I know when you guys go to Facebook Live, it's not a good feed, and it's late over there, and we're working on some things right now. So just bear with us. I know it's late over there in the evening, and I just want to address you because some of this news has to do with gents on tonight. We want to try to make a difference in bringing the gospel out. And I had a chance to talk with one of the sponsors, and we're going to do a revival, and it's going to be the first revival. Chaos Talk Radio is going to present a revival, not just on Blog Talk, but we're going to go live on the internet as well. And we're going to try to have a live feed come into the revival. Now, this is something new for us, so we're just asking everyone to bear with us. And with the revival, we already have the dates. The only dates I'm not sure of is we're going to do something a little different because the Lord put on my heart. And because of the facility we're using, we're going to do the 5th, 6th, and 7th of March. And I will be putting up stuff all over social media starting this week, this weekend, and with my speakers and everything else that we got going on, is going to be the Chaos Revival, the 5th, 6th, and 7th. And the reason I'm saying something is new towards this is because they wanted me to do 7 days, and it's kind of impossible to do 7 straight days in the facility. So we're going to add three other nights the end of March. So as soon as I confirm those dates, and I've already talked to the people at the building, which was okay with the building. I just got to talk to a few other people, and then we're going to add three other nights to that. And it's going to be presented by Pepsi, and Pepsi is going to be presenting this revival. That's another big thing, because the revival is being asked, not because Brother Derek said we're going to do a revival. It's someone from the Pepsi say we should be doing a revival. So they're going to make sure we have everything we need for the revival that we got coming up. It's going to be an awesome revival. And the Lord just put on my mind, and we're going to get into the lesson today because I've been studying what we're going to talk about tonight. And but this is exciting news for me, because when you have a major sponsor and they tell you they want you to do what I've been called to do, which is to preach, and then on top of that, being on Blog Talk, being in different places, we're going to try to make it easy for them to hear us. So I've already talked to a few preachers that's going to be on the lineup, and I'm going to confirm them as well. But I do know on the 5th, 6th, and 7th, and if I get the okay from the bishop, which I haven't, I'm just put it out there because I can't hold water. If we do a Saturday afternoon revival is what we're looking at. So we'll do Saturday afternoon and Saturday night. We're going to try to do that. I'm not going to push it, but we're going to try to do it. It's just because of what I want to do. And if I can add it, and if the Lord sees fit for us to add it, then we'll do that also at the end of the month, Friday, Saturday, close out on Sunday. And going to close us out on the first part. We already know that Bishop Omar is going to close us out on that Sunday morning. He's going to be the closeout preacher. But there's going to be three other dynamic preachers before him. And we'll have the topics and all that coming out later on this week on social media. So I'm excited about that and getting getting out there and inviting unsaved people and just inviting people into the house of the Lord so they can hear the word of God on these nights that we're going to be presenting it for us, where we just want to go out and try to preach as much Jesus as we can in every opportunity that we can. And we have a great, great list of preachers that we can pull from the pool from. So I'm excited about that as well. So that's my breaking news, is the Chaos Revival. And the reason Pepsi wants to sponsor it, and they will sponsor us, and we're going to go ahead and try to make that happen the first weekend in March, and we're going to close it out the last weekend in March. And I'm just telling you, we're gonna bring the heat, like they said, we're gonna bring the heat on those days. So with that being said, we're gonna go ahead and get right into what we want to talk about today. before I get started, wife, you have anything you want to say?
No, I'm just happy to be back on once again, and that's okay. About it. I'm ready to get started. I'm good.
You ready to get started? All right. Well, you can open us up and pray then. So let's have you open us up, and we can go ahead and get started.
All right. Father God, we come to you this evening, first of all, thanking you for everything that you've done thus far. We ask that you look upon our hearts, anything that we have going on that's unacceptable, that's not pleasing in your sight. We ask that you reveal it to us. Make it plain so we can see what we need to correct. We ask that you lead and guide us. Let your will continue to be done in our lives. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Bless the service on this evening and remove us, all of you, and let your spirit lead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to get started. And scripture I'm going to start off with, and this is really for me, and I was figuring some things out, and I was going through some things, and it hit me, and I told my wife what we were going to be talking about, but I'm going to take it from a different angle on tonight. And if you have your Bibles, real quick, yeah, one quick scripture for you, and it's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Galatians 2:20. And we as believers of Christ, and that are saved and that are living a saved life, it's very important for us to surround ourselves around believers who live their life for Christ day in and day out. And I say that because it's just important, because who you surround yourself with, even though you can be saved and love the Lord, if you're around a bunch of negativity, it's going to rub off on you. If you're around a bunch of gossiping, it's going to rub off on you. Whatever you surround yourself by is going to rub off on you. And it's very important, because I believe, and I'm going to need my wife to help me because I'm going to be going all over the place, that people's energy, if it's negative, can get on you and it can drain you, even if you love the Lord. And you have to stay spiritual minded. But sometimes, I'm not saying it's impossible, but sometimes if you're not in there, well, I'm just going to go ahead and get started because I don't want to distract myself. But Galatians 2:20, and it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
And that's what we want to talk about today. Christ lived in us, and he lives within us, and we have to feed our spirit his word in order for him to be active in our lives. So we can say we're saved and we don't put no word in us, it's not going to work. It is not, because we're not feeding him. If you don't feed something, it starves to death. That's just, everyone knows that. If you don't feed something, it's not going to last very long. And Jesus lives in us. Once we accept him, he lives in us. And I had something happen to me when I was studying this, and I'm like, okay, this is something very easy, but I allow circumstances within my house, circumstances outside of my house, and people's demeanor, it sucked the life out of me. I was not myself. Yeah, I love the Lord and I was studying, but I was not me. And I had Deacon Lee had told me to come to his house. He wanted me to read a scripture for something he was recording. And again, it never fails with Deacon Stan. He again spoke to me in the spiritual through the natural. And as I was reading it, it was a simple scripture I had to read. And he said something to me, and after I left his house, it clicked in. He said, you're reading it, but you sound like you're sad. And just because you're reading it loud, I still had. And I was like, okay. And then as I started thinking about it, every phone call I was attending to back home in Ohio, it was pretty much sad news. Me and my wife dealing with some things in our house, it was just my demeanor. And yeah, I love the Lord, but I was giving that, okay, you don't sound happy today. And if he was able to pick it up, how many other people was able to pick it up that I came across their path? And even though the Lord is living inside of me, we as Christians have to be careful who we surround ourselves with. Because if you surround yourself around a bunch of negativity, even though you love the Lord, sometimes that energy will just suck the life out of you. And we don't have that happy-go spirit that we're supposed to have. And if I have that look on my face, how can I minister to anybody if I surround myself around things that are not of God? Am I making myself clear? I hope I'm making. I feel like I'm talking too much. So go ahead, wife.
No, I mean, I follow you. I had the same experience today. You already know I got a little irritated on my lunch break today. So, and it was nothing, like you said, studying. I've been studying all weekend. And I'm like, okay, I'm studying. And I'm thinking I'm good to go. But the minute I walked downstairs on my lunch break, I got an attitude quick. I couldn't even make me no lunch. That's how I just said, forget it. And I went back up to my desk and I ate on some peanut butter crackers because I'm like, I just got an attitude quick. So like you say, things around you can affect your attitude. Even though you try to put on a happy face, you try, if your spirit is, I use the word vexed. I don't know if I'm using it in the right context, but that's the word I want to use tonight. But if your spirit is vexed with all this stuff going on, so it's gonna be a different output, a different look for somebody else who is used to seeing you happy and bubbly, and but you got too much going on, too much drama. I was looking, and you know, I work in the technology field. And there is this term that it's a computer science acronym. It's garbage in, garbage out. And it's bad input, it will result in bad output. Like you put bad stuff in the computer, bad stuff is going to come out. So in other words, what you put in you is what's going to come out of you. So a lot of the times if you're allowing people's energy and negativity to feed and attach itself to you, then that's what's going to come out of you. Even though you don't mean for it to happen, you don't want it to happen, you're not seeking out for it to happen, it just happens. And I was telling you earlier, a lot of the times when I find myself in a funk or whatever, I have to change the atmosphere of me. So you already know I'm always singing. So I'm going to sing something. I'm going to put on some praise music. I'm going to do something to try to change the atmosphere because if I don't, it will weigh me down. That's my personal experience. So a lot of the times, like you said, the Lord dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And many of us have invited God into our lives, but we treat him like an unwanted guest, or we have so much filth in our lives that there's nowhere for him to dwell. We got too much clutter, too much stuff going on. So a lot of the times the spirit can't flow freely because we got a lot of garbage in, and we need to be getting the garbage out, if I could say it that way. And I like to say delete our browsing history. You know, when I'm working with members, I'll have to go through a process of helping them delete some of their files and browsing history and cache and cookies and things like that. And it's like we have to do some deleting of our own. We have to allow the Lord to clean out some of the stuff that we have that's clogging us up and let the Spirit flow freely. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm rambling.
No, you're good. You are good. I like that.
Okay.
So, in other words, we need to do a spiritual detox. And sometime when you do your spiritual detox and you clean out your system, you're going to find out that when you're doing that, there's certain people that you have to let go that are close to you because they're sucking the energy out of you. And I don't care how many times you read a scripture, how many times you prayed up or changed the atmosphere, their job is to suck the energy out of you. And I witnessed that, and it was I'm like, me, Elder Oliver, you know, I've been in this a long time. I should be beyond people sucking the life out of me. I should be beyond. At least that's what I say to myself. And the Lord was sharing with me, no, if you listen to who you talk to, and as much as you talk and you minister to other people, believe you me, they're trying to minister to you too. So even though you're putting out the good vibe and they're putting out the bad vibe, that bad vibe is on you. You have to release that somewhere. You have to detox it. Because if you're going from conversation to conversation to conversation, and it's all, you're bringing the word, you're bringing the light, and it's just darkness, at some point you're going to have to change your atmosphere. You're going to have to do something. And you look for something pump you up. I want to say this, and I believe I got Bishop listening. I told him he was on. So I'm going to use him as an example tonight, him and his wife. And I told my wife I was going to be going all over the place with tonight because for a year now, it's been a little over a year, and when I see the bishop and the first lady, they got the same energy. The energy is the same. And I understand because, you know, their parents, we're parents, they running around all, but their energy, I don't know what they're drinking because their energy is just the same. You know what I'm saying? It's the same. It's not to, no matter what's going on, that energy. And I'm like, I know sometimes they just got to be tired. I'm waiting for that day where I can be like, okay, they zomped out. And it's okay, but at the same time, I'm trying to find that energy where when people see me, I'm the same Derek that I was yesterday. But today, I just had the energy sucked out of me. And it was nothing no one did or said. It was just, it was a rainy, gloomy day. And I don't like because it's raining. I still got peace. I still got joy. I still got my, I'm still excited, but it wasn't on my face. And that's why I went to Galatians, because it says I'm crucified. That means we're going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to go through some things. And yet I live, but it's not me, it's Christ. So I have to consistently feed the Christ in me, not just with reading the word, but surrounding myself with people who's going to speak life into me as well. And if you're going places and no one is speaking life into you, you need to change your surroundings. Now, I'm not saying you can't minister. Don't. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I want to be at a place where everyone that I talk to, that I call a friend or I call a brother or a sister, when they call to talk to me, they can uplift and bring I don't want to say give me a word every time because I can be able to get my own word, but just a pleasant to talk to somebody. Even if they're going through something, you can see they're going through it with the peace of God. You can see they're going through it with the love of God. You can see it. That will still encourage me because if they can go through all of that, what I'm going through is nothing. That's how we encourage one another. But sometimes we get on the hook of being comfortable and thinking we can turn this thing on and off when we get ready. And I'm learning as I get older, no, I need to be around spirit-fed people who's going to continue to uplift the Lord. Because when you uplift the Lord, the same spirit in you is the same spirit in me. There'll be a leaping sensation. We can shout together. We can pray together. We can love together. We can fellowship together. I hope I'm making sense when I say this because it's very easy to get caught in the trap of, okay, the only time we open our Bibles is on Sunday and we can say amen, but yet we allow the TV gods dictate our life. And whatever on TV, if it's a good episode, we had a good day. If it's a bad episode, oh, it makes our day miserable. If we don't talk to our best friend on today, well, I missed you and I didn't know what because I couldn't talk to you, but yet you got the Lord living within you and you couldn't talk to him. And I asked my wife a question when we was going to church. I think it was we was going to church on Sunday. And again, Bishop, I'm using him as an example, taught a couple weeks ago, you just don't go to no one's house without calling, checking. So I wonder how many people called the Lord before they went to the Lord's house to check to make sure it's okay to come in. So I'm going to let y'all live. I'm going to let that linger. Did you call the Lord before you went to his house? A lot of us don't do that. I'm a witness. Sometimes I didn't think about it. I didn't think about it. Because when I went to church so Sunday, you know, I'm making sure. What's that?
Yeah, elaborate on that.
What do you mean? Call on the Lord. When I woke up in the morning, I thank the Lord for waking me up. But the question is, when I went into his house, before I walked into his house, was I at the right mindset when I went into his house? Was I going to his house to thank him, or was I going to his house to take from him? You see what I'm saying? So sometimes people come to the house to take from God. And sometimes people come to the house just to give God thanks for what he's already done. And you got to go into the house with the right mindset. Because if you're going just to take from him, you're going in the wrong mindset. You know how you got that one cousin or that one – go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your statement. I got a question.
No, I'm just saying – no, it's just you have – some people come for the wrong reason. It's like when you have a party or you have dinner. People know what time dinner is. They're going to show up at dinner time just to get a meal. Okay, we don't mind feeding you, but you came with the intentions to eat anyway. Well, you wasn't invited to eat, and you didn't even bring nothing with you. And then sometimes you go to someone's house and they say, oh, I brought this for you, so you can then you can offer to them. The Lord, when he opens his doors for us, whatever we need, we know we can go in there and get. But the question is, are you communicating with him? Do you have that type of relationship with him that when you're talking to him, before you go into your house, do you know why you're going in there for? Are you going in there to ask for something, or are you going in there just to give thanks? Are you going in there to fellowship? Are you? What are your purpose for going into the house? Now, I know, because what I'm saying is really not that deep, but you really can make it deep if you really try to go there, because people say, well, anyone can go into the house of the Lord. Yeah, anyone can. But let's talk about the house where he dwells in. He dwells in Derek's house. He dwells in my house. He dwells in my body. So when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Now, when I get ready to go to where I'm going, if I'm going to the church, okay, what is my purpose for going to the church? Am I going in there asking the Lord for a bunch of stuff? Am I going in there just because I know that's what I need to do as a religious practice? Why am I going to the Lord? Have you ever asked yourself that question? And then when you ask yourself that question, you just wake up religiously on Sunday and say, well, I'm going to church on Sunday. Because if you're doing it as a religious practice, you just go ahead.
So in regards to what you're saying, because I'm going to keep it real. I've done both. I've done plenty. So there's been times that I'm going to church because I need to receive something from the Lord. I'm seeking him for something, and I'm seeking him for something, so I need to receive something from him. And
right.
That's my sole purpose. I need to hear from him. I need to get to the house of the Lord so I can receive something. I've done that. I also go with praise. Like, church starts before I even – the church starts when my feet hit the floor. Sometimes my feet ain't even on the floor yet. I'm just laying in the bed. But church is going to start before I get to the house of the Lord. So – to me, it depends on where you're at in life and what your situation is, what you're going through. So
let me clean this up. We do both, but what I'm saying is, when you're going there and you know that's why you're going, because you need to receive something, it's okay to go to the house wanting to receive something. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, some people will show up at your house unexpectedly. If you ain't talked to the Lord all day long, you ain't talked to him all week long, you ain't had no communication with him all, then you go to the house of the Lord and you're going expecting to receive when you haven't fed him all week. And what happens
but
is,
you know what?
When you don't feed him.
People do that, though. Like when you weren't saved, and people do it all the time. I know plenty of people, they don't even believe in Jesus. You know, they believe in whatever God they serve. But they'll ask you, can you pray for me? Can you do that? You know,
right.
They're asking me to pray. So in that instance, they're doing the same thing. They really not caring one bit about the Lord Jesus Christ. They just want to get their whatever they need. They want to get that met. And people do it all the time.
Right. And, and what the Lord showed me is, if we're not careful, because I've been saved for so long, we can fall in a routine where it just becomes a religious practice. We're not really studying the word. We know enough scriptures, and I can be man enough and to say I know enough scriptures to get by. I know how to play the game to get by. And what happens is, and this is the people I'm talking, people who are been in church, who's not feeding the spirit inside, because if you don't feed it, it's just as easy as them spirits to jump on me. What do you think they're doing to them? And I've been dealing with a lot of people that have been in church for a long time, and it's not my job to see where they are or what they're doing, but you can see it, that everything they do is like, it's religious. It's a robot. There's no fruit behind them. It's just generic. There's no excitement. It's just not there. And I'm asking myself, well, why is this? And the Lord showed me a perfect example of myself using me as the prime target. Okay, yeah, I was studying the word. Yeah, I was into it. I'm not saying I don't have no issues or anything, we all do, but I'm happy to be doing the Lord's work. But I allow so many negative people or negative situations get inside my, you want to call it my head or my spirit, and it just brought it wore me down to the point where today I just wasn't me. I wasn't, you know, and I have that button where I can hit that gear and be like, okay, I bind Satan up in the name of Jesus, and, you know, this is the day that the Lord, I can do that. But today was just a different day. And when you're dealing with multiple difference of people from multiple difference of religion, from it can drain you. And I'm trying to send a signal out to the believers. Be careful who you surround yourself with, because if you're not feeding yourself spiritually properly, at some point there's going to be enough, what do you want to call it, junk mail, to cause your spirit man not to be able, because you're not giving him what he needs. And we have to feed our Jesus on the inside daily with what? His word. How do we do that? We have to read his word. We have to hear his word. And we have to seek his word. And if we're doing all of those things consistently, it's hard for the negative type of darts to settle in and dictate to us instead of us dictating to it. And I use as an example, you know, the bishop and I like them as my mop, because they're consistent all year. It ain't been, it's just boom. The bishop preaches like it's his first time preaching and like it's his last time preaching. He preaches that every Sunday. It's no difference. And I know for a fact, because I'm a preacher, it's hard to do that week in and week out and deal with your family, deal with your wife, got to go to work. And the other auxiliary is just, man, that's tiresome. Just talking about it make me tired. But when you have that energy to keep, boom, you never see, I'm not saying they don't have their moments, I mean, I've just seen it, but I want to be at a place when people see me, I'm the same yelling and screaming as I am when I'm behind a pulpit, regardless of the situation, regardless of, oh, well, he going through, because I'm not really going through anything. I'm healthy. I'm happy. My bills is paid. I don't have nothing to stress me out. And I'm not even allowing my kids to stress me out. So why am I so loom and doom? Because I'm listening to other people in their situation. It didn't caught me. It ain't got nothing to do with Brother Derek. It ain't got nothing to do with me. And if we're not careful, and if we don't start feeding our spiritual man and not giving him religious but giving him spiritual food, I'm telling you, it will be a whole lot better. Deacon Lee, Deacon Stanton had shown me that in just reading a scripture. And if he saw me reading a scripture, and I was saying it loud, I was on beat but he said, you're not, it sounds like you're sad when you're saying it. And I had to check myself. So why am I sad? And I start thinking about all my conversations that I had. And whatever it was, something caught up inside me. And I'm thinking I'm good. In reality, I wasn't giving my Jesus on the inside enough spiritual food. And I allow the negative people into my circle. And that's what we got to be careful of. We have to remember who's living inside us. we have to remember that when we feed him, we, you know, it's easier to get into the flesh. It's easy to get into the flesh. That's why it's hard. You got to not only read the word, not only hear the word, but you got to be a doer of the word. If you do all three of them, you should be pretty good. But if you're only doing two of them, it'll be easy to get caught up in that trap and let someone drop that negative energy off on you. It's just my opinion, just what I think. It's just how I feel. Now, I'm saying all of that to say this. If you are a believer and you got Jesus Christ in you, how do you keep that active? You have to continually read and study his word. That's how he gets fed. Not only read it and study it, but you got to hear it. And like you said, what you do, you change the atmosphere by putting on music that's going to uplift you. Not only uplift you, but it's going to uplift him. And if you're uplifting him, it's going to uplift you. And that's the key that we have to do and we have to remember. And just because we're reading a scripture don't necessarily mean we have to study it. We have to keep on reading it. And don't pretend like we got it all together. And that's the one thing that I want to say, because, like I said, you know, I talk to a lot of preachers almost every single day, and a lot of them is pretending. And the reason I know they're pretending is because you don't see that joy. You don't see that happiness. You don't see that burst of fire that they're ready to go.
So when you say that, does that – I'm going to ask another question. We all have our days. We all have times where we have our moments. I mean, we feel
right.
It's not so much that we just have our moments. Can I say it? We get in our flesh.
Yeah, we do.
And we just have our moments. And in regards to those moments, and you just mentioned like some preachers who maybe they just having a moment and maybe they need some encouragement. Maybe they need somebody to say, keep going. You're doing good. You know, because I know you pretty hard on the preachers. So, you know, we just never know what people are going through. And because they may not seem like they're.
You say I'm hard on the preachers. Okay. And I'm going to say this, and I don't want to get off the subject, but I will address that because people say I'm hard on preachers. I'm not hard on preachers. If the Lord called you, if the Lord Jesus called me, and if he called me, yeah, I had a moment today. It doesn't make you or break you. Don't say that because I had a moment that I'm a bad person. I just had a moment. But in that moment,
right.
Okay, I see there's a weakness. So I have to tighten that up, because if I don't tighten it up, the enemy will use that against me. So as a preacher, no, I'm not going to beat me up as much as you can, because I'm going to make sure the next time around I will be prepared. But as preachers today, and you bringing it up, and they, I'm wondering who called them, because the Lord called me to preach the gospel. So when the Lord called me to preach, I only answer to one person, and that's who called me to preach. Now, do I have my days? I have my days, but there's certain things that you're not going to find that I just see consistent with other preachers, and that A, they're lazy, B, they want a handout, and C, they can't make their own ministry. Now, I'm not talking, I'm just speaking in general from the people I deal with. And that's what it is. If they're waiting on their pastor to put them up to speak, then okay, well, who called you to preach? Well, if your pastor called you to preach, you're going to wait on him and call you once or twice a year, then that's what you get. But if the Lord called you to preach, you have to go do what he's telling you to do. I don't know what that is for everybody. I don't, and I can't get into that. But the Lord called me to preach, so I have to – he put things in the face of my life, like this revival. He put that together. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just following what he's telling me to do. So if he's put that in front of me, it don't have nothing to do with anybody but the Lord. Now, because I'm in a fellowship and I belong to a certain, I have to be respectful to my pastor and let him know what's going on. And if he know, he should say, well, go ahead, do what you got to do. Because it should not affect me preaching, unless I'm preaching something that's not right, it shouldn't, if you're preaching what God called you to preach, it shouldn't have nothing to do with no man. That's all what I'm saying. If God called you to do something, it shouldn't have to do with no man. Do it. And he put obstacles in front of everybody. It's just like with me and you, when we walk the neighborhood and we talk to neighbors, they don't know us unless we go out and talk to them. Do they know we're saved? Unless we bring it up and we talk to them and we tell them, that's a ministry. When you go to the grocery, that's a ministry. The way they got social media is a ministry. So can't no man tell me that I can't preach the gospel unless I'm doing something crazy. And we're not talking about them crazy people right now. I'm just telling everyone, we have to, as an individual, make sure that we're feeding the Jesus that's on the inside of us. Because if we're not, if you don't feed your body, stuff happens. You get sick. And when you get sick, you got to nourish yourself. And some illness is caused because we don't eat right. You and I both know that. When we go to the doctor, first thing he want to check is my cholesterol. You eat too many fried foods, Derek. Okay. Well, I got to stop eating fried. That's what the doctor said. Well, if you're around toxic people, spiritually is going to have, huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Well, I probably wasn't supposed to say that. But if that's the case, if that's what the report you get from the doctor, then y'all have to excuse me. I wasn't supposed to say I eat too much fried foods. But anyway, we're going to start eating baked and grilled stuff. But anyway, if that's what the doctor tells you, then that's what you have to do. If the doctor tells you, okay, you need to eat more greens, you need to meet, then that's what you have to do to make yourself healthy. It's not just about exercising, but sometimes it's about eating the right food, being around the right places. I can't hang around people who want to go to Burger King and McDonald's all the time and order all the time. If that's the case, that's what I'm going to eat. And the doctor already told you, you can't have that. But if I keep doing it, I'm subject to make myself sick somewhere down the line. So as it's the same thing when it comes to spiritually. If we're not feeding the spiritual man in us the proper food that he needs, and yet we're still listening to the Quran and we're listening to all these different religions, at some point it's going to get in your spirit. And it is not going to be half. The way that the Lord lives is by his word and being uplifted. That's how we get through.
Let me, I want to share this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, bad company corrupts good character. So a lot of the times, I tell this scripture to my kids often, because you hang around a group of people, even if you're not doing what they're doing, you're going to be labeled as the same as they are. If you're in a car with somebody, they get pulled over, all of y'all in trouble if it's something in that car. So they're not going to say, oh, you wasn't, it's guilt by association. So when there's guilt by association, anytime that you have all this negativity stuff all going on all around you, if you entertaining it, if you around it and that's all you're feeding your body, then it's not going to end well. You can't survive. Your flesh is just going to override, and you're just going to continue to do what the other people are doing. We are separate for a reason. We are here for a purpose and on purpose. So we do have to do what the Lord is telling us to do and remove ourselves from certain situations. Some people, even if you have to cut some people off, if I don't call you for a long, long, long time, then we cool. I'm good. We don't have to communicate like that. Especially if it's somebody like from my way back in my past. You didn't mean me no good during that time. We don't really have nothing to conversate about right now. So it's best to choose who you want to be around. Nowadays, with this quarantine and all, you can choose if you want to have somebody around you or not. When you're in a situation kind of like what I'm in right now, it's kind of hard to remove myself from the situation. But I can mentally remove myself from the situation. I may be physically here, but mentally I'm checked out. I'm having church in my head. I'm doing something to lift up the Lord because I can't let that spirit overtake me. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not that that person is doing it. That spirit is trying to come for you. And so you got to fight the spirit with the spirit. You can't fight the spirit with this flesh. It's not going to work. We don't have the power. So we got to turn it over to the Lord. We got to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us in everything that we do. So you always
right.
say, well,
and,
where's
and
that
it,
scripture? Look, Corinthians 15:33. That's the scripture. Go ahead, mm-hmm. husband.
No, no. And again, Galatians 2:20, and I forgot the comment on this. I'm going to read it again. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. I'm sorry, I just lost my place. But the key word is flesh and faith. It says, now I live in the flesh. I live by faith. Now, we live in a flesh world. Everything is in the flesh. We can get in the flesh in a minute. But I live by the faith of the Son of God. You have to build your faith up. And how do you build your faith? Faith comes by the Word of God. You increase your faith by the Word of God. So the more words you got in you, the faith part will override all that other stuff that's coming in the flesh. But if you're not careful, and like I said, it's very easy. And this is why I'm hard on preachers, because we don't sometimes like to tell the truth. Because we get these titles and we can preach, people think we have arrived. It's harder on the preachers than it is anybody else. Because even though we're preaching and it's for us first, it's hard because the flesh is always at us, the flesh. And in order to fight the flesh, you got to build your faith. And sometimes the faith, you have enough faith. I have enough faith. I can't drink. I'm not going to drink. I don't have a problem with alcohol, but I may struggle in other areas and my faith may not be that strong. So I got to go where that word is. And where that word is maybe I need to fast and pray on other issues. But if I'm not strong when it comes to pushing the plate away, if I'm not strong and I only got a little bit of faith areas, that's where the devil is going to attack the most. And if he attacks those areas the most, my faith ain't that strong. But if you think that I can wake up every Sunday morning and go to church faithfully, I have enough sense to do that, I have enough faith to do that, then that's fine. But do you have enough faith to when you hang around, you go to work and you hear a whole bunch of cussing? Can you put enough word in you to override the cussing? Because what you hear is what you're hearing is going to come out. And one thing about you, and my wife knows this, I like to hear people cuss. It's comical. It's funny for me. But if I don't put enough word in me, believe you me, I've struggled
don't
with that. A curse word will pop out. Exactly.
Right.
It ain't because
that's
I don't love the Lord. It ain't because I'm not saved. It's just what I'm putting in my spirit is what's going to come out. And sometimes if you watch a movie over and over again and it got a lot of cussing, sometimes if you stub your toe, you're going to say, oh, you know, I like to say snap, but sometimes I may say something else. If that's what's coming, if that's what I put in me.
Right.
It doesn't mean I don't love the Lord. I'm just trying to make the comparison. We have to be strong all the way around. We just can't be strong in certain areas. And as preachers, sometimes we're not strong in a lot of areas. And we like to pretend when we're not. And we struggle with issues.
You know what? The pretending part, though, can I just say something about the pretending? You know, life is so short. And to pretend is like, for what? I can't, there's no heaven or hell that I can put you in. God sees everything. He knows everything. So I don't understand the faking the funk in front of the people and you doing other stuff behind, like, the Lord. I mean, the Lord knows. I mean, I just, the pretending, especially if you're in a leadership role, come on. It's too many people. It's too many eyes on you, watching you. You're going to be held accountable for what you're doing. And if you're out here doing stuff, pretending and faking the funk, I pray that you get that right with the Lord, because there's too many people out here who are hurting. And because of a lot of church people, we are the culprit for hurting people. Like, they see the dirt that we do, and we try to get up in front of them and preach or give them a word. I just seen you doing the same stuff so-and-so was doing. You can't come at me with nothing. So
it's not so much pretending. It's just, for me, my reality is, and I just known it today, that there's areas that I'm weak in. And I can be man enough and a preacher enough to be like, I'm weak. But there's some times when you're in position and you have to understand, we're talking about what we're taking in. When you hear people praise you, pat you on the back, it's hard to say, okay, well, it's hard for me to get up here and say I'm weak in certain areas. Now, when I say that out loud, I'm saying it for two reasons. A, I'm surrendering it. I surrender it. And when I surrender it, the Lord hears me and the Lord's going to take care of me. But also, at the same token, when you say something like, I have an issue right now, I've been having this craving for cheesecake. And every time I go somewhere, and I don't even like cheesecake like that. This just hit me over the last 2 weeks. It's just been hitting me about cheesecake. And every time I go into the store, it's like, won't you go get your cheesecake? And it's like, wow. And it's so tempting to do it. And I don't even eat cheesecake like that. But this season right now, I'm having an issue with it. So when you put it out there, like I just put it out there, a couple things going to happen. Some people going to call me and going to tell me where to go get the best cheesecake from, because I put it out there. I got this thing for cheesecake. And then some people going to tell me, you got to give me a bunch of scriptures on how you have to push the plate away, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I understand both sides of it. The thing about when we say pretend is sometimes we don't want to acknowledge it because it's going to come 10 times worse. And when it comes 10 times worse, we just rather, you know what, I'm not going to deal with it. I go buy me a piece of cheesecake, eat it in the car, throw the bag away before I come in the house, and don't nobody know nothing but the Lord.
The Lord knows.
But that's what we do. I'm not saying everybody does it. I'm just saying when we're struggling, and I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm just talking about little stuff. And those little stuff creeps up to get bigger stuff. And if we're not careful and we don't start... Yes.
Let me say, because just what you just said brought to mind just something. I think it goes with what you're saying a little bit. It's like you can't defeat the demons you enjoy playing with. So, in other words, you can't beat the enemy playing with his toys. So you can't have the victory if you're doing something outside of what you should be doing.
But that's why it's very important. I'm following. That's why it's very important to surround yourself around people who's going to up. Because when you surround yourself around people, you tend not to go there. When you surround yourself around positive people, who's going to encourage you? Who's going to be like, Derek, we're going to fast on this day. Not because I said what I said. It's because this is the life that I'm living. I'm living for Christ. And if I'm living for Christ, and you're living for Christ.
But at the same time, you have to be accountable as well, because you can easily say, I'm going
to
fast with you and I'm going to do it. But guess what? They're not at home with you, so they don't know if you're doing it for real.
Well, that's true. You're right. They don't know.
You got to be accountable for some things too.
You do, but there's sometimes you have to. And this is, and I'm going to say this, you have to lean on the people you surround yourself with. And when I say that, I can use you as an example. If you know I'm doing something, I'm struggling with something, you're going to keep me afloat. But of course, you're my wife. That's fine. I have brothers. They know my weakness. They're going to keep me so far from that because they're my brothers and they know me. And when you start to surround yourself around the right people, they'll just know. It wasn't an accident that I went over to Deacon Stanton's house today. It wasn't an accident. The Lord purposely orchestrated that for me to see weakness in myself. And I don't even think the deacon even knows what he'd be doing or what he'd be saying sometime, but it has a direct spiritual hit on me. So I can appreciate that coming because I'm surrounding myself. And when you can go to a brother, they'll know nothing that's going on, and he can give you something for me to check myself, okay, I'm in the right direction. I'm surrounding myself around people that's going to make me check myself. Because when I check myself, I'm accountable to who? The Lord. Why? Because he called me. He loves me. He's going to fix me. So with all of this going on, I'm telling, but now if I didn't surround myself and just say I would have went over the clown's house instead of Deacon's house, and the clown's house had nothing but cheesecake sat out there for me to eat. Now, you see what I'm saying? Now, it's very, but you got to know who you're surrounding yourself with. That's why when I use an example, the bishop and the first lady, they're always seen. If he was to have a product of water and said he was selling his water because it gives him energy, I would buy it because I've seen the effects of him being at a certain level all the time. That's what I'm striving to get. Now, when I say that, the people that I mentor and the people that I talk to, I'm hoping that they can see I want to be where Elder Oliver is. He don't care. You know, I'm hoping I'm giving that same vibe off. Because if I'm not, then I have to question my whole, and you say I'm hard on preachers. You know, I know a lot of preachers. Preachers come at me for a lot of different reasons. And I use my platform as an example, the same way the bishop does. You know, laughing, joking, always upbeat. And another thing I want to say, because I know I got another bishop listening, and yeah, I'm about to start some trouble. I saw, you know, and then we got to get ready to close. But yeah, this is funny. It tickled me because I saw the bishop, him and his son, his baby son, at a baseball game practice, and you hear the bishop yelling and screaming in the background as his son hits the ball, telling him to run. Now, the reason it's exciting for me to see that and the realness in that is because it's not the bishop, it's a dad. That's a bishop. Now, there's some bishops that I grew up with playing football. When they went to their son's baseball games, they came with an entourage. They didn't have a baseball hat on. They didn't have, you know what I'm saying? They came in an entourage. Everybody knew that was the bishop.
Right.
You know, they had people around them. Go get them water or a hot dog. You know, had an entourage. And when you grow up with that kind of stuff and you see that kind of stuff, now, was he there for his son or was he there to show off his entourage? But when you see the bishop at a baseball yelling and screaming, you know, with a baseball hat on, and he liked to call himself the baseball, the dugout dad, or the coach. It ain't about being a bishop. You see what I'm saying? So as we as preachers sometimes, if we could just do what God called us to do and put the title away sometime, we can affect more people. We can affect more people that way than, oh, well, I'm Elder Oliver. I'm too good for this. I'm too good for that. You know, like my brother say, you know, I didn't graduate from McDonald's and Burger King. I like to eat steak and cheesecake. You know, I can't get an apple pie no more. I'm too good for that. That's why he just texted me, I'm too good for apple pie. Them apple pies is good for a dollar from McDonald's. I ain't going to lie to you. They are good. But See where I'm going at? See where I want? I just talked my way out of that, going right to McDonald's to get an apple pie when I get out of here. But but I'm hoping that we can encourage somebody, and that's all we're trying to do is encourage. And I'll use my faults and put them on display in front of anybody and everybody, because I know the Lord is dealing with me. And just in those 2 hours that I had today, the Lord was showing me he's living within me. And it's my job to live by faith. I have to build my faith up. How do you build your through the word of God? Through the word of God. Not only hearing it, but doing it. Not only doing it, but listening to it. And surround yourself around people who's going to uplift you, who's going to try to challenge you to go to another level. And if you're not trying to go to another level, then it's just not good. Someone told me something. My guy from Pepsi told me something. And he said, Derek, I want you to know something. If you hang out with 5 millionaires, you will become a 6 millionaire. If you just hang out with them. He said it's so hard to hang out with millionaires because they're so busy and their time is so valuable. But if you could just hang out with them for a little bit of time, you will become a millionaire because you will think like they think. You will move like they move. Well, it's the same way, and it hit me, with being a child of God. If you can just hang out with me for a little while and just hang out with a few of us, you'll become a child of God as well. Evable for you not to. Because millionaires don't hang out with broke people. And broke people don't hang out with millionaires. Why is that? Because the millionaires don't ever want to be broke. And broke people don't know how to get in touch with millionaires. And the reason I'm saying this is I'm trying to say something. If you're a child of God and you're living your life for the Lord, when you surround yourself around dark places, the light is going to shine. And pretty soon, that dark place is going to have its own light and you can move on. That's all what I'm trying to say. Hopefully you got that. But I'm going to have to preach that one day. But why, I'm done. I don't have nothing else to add to it. Hopefully everyone got what they needed to get out of it. Before I do all my closing remarks, anything you want to say?
At the end of the day, it's not about what you know in your head about God. You do have to, you know, get it in your heart and put it into practice every day. So the more you study, the more you spend time with the Lord, the more the Spirit will lead and guide you. But you have to develop that relationship. If I don't do things with my husband on a husband and wife level, the relationship is going to dry up. So you have to feed the Holy Spirit. And you have to, like you said, surround yourself with people who are like-minded, and they want to grow and continue to feed the Spirit of the Lord and get rid of all the negativity and the garbage. So that's all I'm going to say.
Now, hopefully you learned something from this. Before we close out, you know our weekly schedule is normal. Tuesday night Bible study, Praise Tabernacle Bible study. We'll be on at 7 p.m. tomorrow. Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary, and the elders, evangelists, and deacons will be on. It'll be run by Elder Richard Taylor. He'll be the host for tomorrow night. Also, Thursday night, Omar, Zachary, and Family Ministries will be on at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Also on Facebook Live, Praise Tabernacle Church, and you can catch them on Facebook Live. Also on Sunday at 9 a.m. sharp, Praise Tabernacle Praise and Worship Service will be live on Blog Talk at 9 a.m. and also on Facebook Live at Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. And you can watch it also, you know, by D&K Bible Break every Monday, 7 p.m. will be on. Also, probably make more announcements on this tomorrow during Bible study. We will be doing a Chaos Talk Revival 5th, 6th, and 7th of March. And also, we're going to be doing it. We're going to start it at the beginning of the month, and we're going to end at the end of the month. And we're going to have right now 6 great services. 6. I'm going to push for a 7th and an 8th on that Saturday afternoon. And as soon as I get the okay, I can do that. We'll be good to go. I'm going to push the envelope because I feel like I'm on fire for the Lord. And I feel like you're going to get some great word from these great preachers, great evangelists that we're going to have bring forth the word. I believe I'm old school. I believe we need to go back old school and just have old school church testimonials, praise, a few testimonies, some few praise and worship, and some fire and brimstone preaching. That's what the Lord is leading me. That's what he's telling me he wants to have. And we're going to start the month off in March. If I'm not mistaken, that's when this pandemic hit, and it was in the month of March. So I believe that since we're still in the pandemic, and we're going to go ahead and show the devil that we can still have a revival during the pandemic. And we're just going to change some things around, but we all know that the Lord never changes. He's seen everything, ain't nothing new to him, and we're going to take it back old school. I would love to just be able to go to church and just hear a testimony, a few praise and worship songs, and then some good old deep down from the uttermost type preaching. Just let the preacher go. Just let him go. And don't put no handcuffs on him. Just let him go and let the Lord have his way. That's what I think the church needs today, because we didn't get back. We want to sit down and dress up and be comfortable. We don't want that ugly cry to come in and that snot to come down. You know, we don't want that no more.
Like
we didn't got too
revival.
Sophisticated for that. Good tent revival, but also that, you know, them basement services. See, I don't know if you ever been this, but I grew up in the church, and my father was in a basement. And some of them basement revivals were some of the best church you would ever have. All we need is an old lady in the kitchen frying some chicken and some cornbread and some greens, and we'll be good to go. I'm on this fried food tonight, Miss Chicken.
Yes.
I got some fried chicken. I ain't talking about the way y'all new ladies cook it. I'm talking about that southern fried chicken, you know, that you get it right from the skillet when it's hot. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we're done. Listen, be back with us tomorrow. Vlogs, I didn't got hungry talking about this. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to lose weight. Got to keep on eating. Be back with us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Same phone number, 845-277-9094. Same internet, www.blogtalkradio.chaostalkwithderekoliver. And hopefully you have a blessed week. You're starting your week off with the word, and you're in the week with the word. So continue to pray for us, and as we continue to pray for you, and we are out. Everyone have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless.
Yeah.